If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today, you'll hear Seth's interview with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC's Morning Joe, followed by a few more questions with them backstage exclusively for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
Congress is supposed to be investigating the Trump administration's alleged ties to Russia, but today, there are new questions about the Republican leading that investigation and whether he's capable of doing his job. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Every day, it seems like there's some new revelation about the Trump team's Russian contacts. The Trump administration keeps failing to disclose them and then giving us shifting explanations for why they happen. And now, even the president's son-in-law has been caught up in the story.
New questions about a newly disclosed meeting between Trump's top advisor, his son-in-law Jared Kushner, and the head of a Russian bank that is subject to U.S. sanctions.
Jared Kushner had this unexplained and previously undisclosed meeting with this guy who's the head of a Russian government-controlled bank with very close ties to President Putin and to the Russian spy services.
At this point, it would just be easier to talk about people at the White House who didn't meet with shady Russians. For example, here's Mike, the White House groundskeeper. And before that, he was, let's see, the head groundskeeper at the Kremlin. Son of a bitch. And clearly, Trump is starting to feel the heat over all these Russia revelations because he took to Twitter last night to lash out and suggested the media should be focusing not on him, but on Hillary Clinton.
The president has once again taken to Twitter, saying, in effect, there's nothing to see here on the subject of Russia. Quote, why isn't the House Intelligence Committee looking into the Bill and Hillary deal that allowed big uranium to go to Russia, Russian speech money to Bill, the Hillary-Russian reset, praise of Russia by Hillary, or Podesta Russian company? Trump-Russia story is a hoax. Make America great again.
You know why Congress isn't looking into Hillary Clinton? Because every day you're presenting them with 1,000 bigger problems. If Godzilla is rampaging in the street, it's not the best time to say, we need to fix these potholes. And by the way, that Hillary story is false. She didn't approve a uranium deal with Russia. The State Department was one of 9 agencies that approved the deal, and there's no evidence Clinton herself got involved in the deal personally. But I guess I can't expect you to understand the details of a uranium deal since the only metals you're familiar with are irons. Now, Trump tweets aside, there are obviously serious questions about his team's alleged Russian ties. And as you may recall, Congress is supposed to be investigating those ties through the House Intelligence Committee, which is chaired by a Republican congressman named Devin Nunes. Nunes, of course, looks like every guy you don't remember meeting. Really? You were at Linda's barbecue? Yeah, if you say so. Nunes caused a firestorm last week when he held a press conference by himself and claimed mysteriously that he had seen evidence that Trump officials were legally surveilled by the government. And then Nunes ran to the White House to tell Trump about it before he told the members of his own committee, a move so egregious it shocked former officials from the Intelligence Committee and Justice Department.
This is a chairman who is supposed to be doing an impartial, bipartisan investigation of the president and his inner circle, and instead he goes and basically tells the president and his team everything he knows. I've got to believe that other members of the committee are horrified at what they just witnessed.
I have never seen a committee chairman come out in front of the press and just kind of pour gasoline all over himself and light himself on fire.
You haven't seen it yet, but I feel like we're one more Russia story away from Sean Spicer trying it as a diversionary tactic. Of course, Nunes is supposed to be investigating Trump, not working with him. And what's worse, Trump took Nunes' stunt as proof that he actually was wiretapped by the Obama administration, a claim that has already been debunked repeatedly, including by the FBI director. In fact, just after Nunes held his press conference last week, Trump claimed he'd been proven right, telling Time magazine, Devin Nunes had a news conference. Did you hear about this? Where they have a lot of information on tapping. Did you hear about that? A lot of information has just been learned. So that means I'm right. He just got this information. This was new information. If you're having trouble following that, here's a condensed version.
I've got information, man. You just come to life.
You know, now that you think about it, the Dune and Trump have a lot in common. They both have bathrobes, both obsessed with their rugs, and they both love white Russians. So Nunes has been very cagey about where he got this information, with some speculating that it may have come from the White House to try to give Trump cover for his false wiretapping claim. But the story only got weirder last week when details started to emerge about what Nunes was doing the night before his Wednesday press conference.
It was Tuesday night here in Washington, D.C., when Chairman Nunes was riding in a car with a staff member. That's when he got some type of message on his phone and abruptly got out of that car and into an Uber. He then seemingly disappeared into the night.
What? He got out of his car in the middle of the night and disappeared? This whole thing is starting to turn into an episode of Dateline. A congressman's phone tells him his Uber is arriving now. But something else arrives first. Murder. So Nunes apparently disappeared from a car and didn't tell anyone where he was going. How could this story get any more bizarre? Well, now we know a little more about where Nunes was earlier that day.
Beginning with breaking news this hour about a mysterious night, something of a secret rendezvous that led to the controversial announcement that President Trump's communications may have been intercepted. The Republican in charge of the House Intelligence Committee, one key committee investigating the Trump campaign's possible ties to Russia, is now revealing he was on the White House grounds the day before his big announcement.
Well, so he was on the White House grounds. What's so suspicious about that?
The groundskeeper.
On Monday, Nunes pushed back on all the criticisms and suggested that the Trump administration wasn't aware he was on White House grounds the day before his press conference.
Did you have other meetings at the White House? Did you meet with the president or any of his aides while you were there that night?
No, and in fact, I'm quite sure that I think people in the West Wing had no idea that I was there.
That's actually the one thing about this story I do believe, that the Trump White House would have no idea who was on the premises at any given time. I bet the White House now is like the Playboy Mansion in the 70s. It's just a weird combo of C-list celebrities and exotic animals. Hey, Shayla, Scott Baio just jumped in the pool with a boa constrictor. And by the way, what could be so important, so explosive about these documents Nunes saw that he had to switch cars and scramble around D.C. in the middle of the night to view them? Well, right now, no one really knows, but CNN reported yesterday that one GOP source who has been briefed on what Nunes had seen said these conversations were primarily among diplomats and was almost like the kind of trivia you would pick up in gossipy conversations about Trump and what he was doing, such as where he was having dinner. So Nunes has been running around D.C. like he's James Bond just to find out where Trump had dinner? That surveillance feed must have been pretty boring. I'll have the 12-piece bucket, extra crispy. In fact, it should be the same color as my skin. Thank you. I hope this isn't being tapped. Now, all this bizarre behavior from Nunes and his apparent interest in helping out the Trump administration while supposedly conducting an independent investigation has led Democrats in Congress to call for Nunes to recuse himself.
Chairman Nunes has compromised his ability to lead this investigation, and he should step aside and let somebody else lead it.
Representative Nunes has created a real problem
for himself with all of this unusual scurrying back and forth with the White House.
Whatever it is he's done, it has been at the White House. It appears to have been in the service of the White House. It's bizarre. It's loopy and jumping in and out of cars.
You can't make this stuff up. I mean, if this was a movie, you'd turn it off because you wouldn't believe it's believable.
Actually, if it was a movie about this guy, then I'd definitely watch that. Steve Carell stars as a bumbling congressman turned spy in the new comedy, High Nunez. Now, today the committee was supposed to hold a hearing with former acting Attorney General Sally Yates, who played a key part in the investigation surrounding former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. But the Washington Post reported that the Trump administration sought to block Sally Yates from testifying to Congress on Russia, and that Nunes said he would not go forward with the public hearing. Today, Nunes was asked as he walked through the Capitol whether the White House had asked him to cancel the hearing and whether he could continue to run the investigation fairly. And to be honest, he seemed a little overwhelmed.
Are you going to stay as chairman and run this investigation?
Well, why would I not?
Can this investigation continue as you as chairman?
Why would it not?
But they're saying that it cannot run as you as chair, with well, you as chairman.
You got to go talk to them. That sounds like their problem.
Did the Trump administration seek to have Sally Yates not testify before your committee?
Look, you guys are just speculating. I'm sorry. Whenever there's time, we'll do a press conference.
But did they ask you to cancel the hearing on today?
Come on, you guys.
Come on, just. I hate this so much, you guys. I just like answer your question and then I walk and you keep following me and asking me more questions and I don't think my Uber's ever gonna show up. And the White House is clearly growing frustrated with the mounting scrutiny over its Russia ties. And today, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer tried unsuccessfully to push back.
You've got Russian, you've got wiretapping, you've got...
No, we don't have that. You
I don't. On Capitol Hill.
No, I get it, but you keep... I've said it from the day that I got here until whatever, that there is no connection. You've got Russia. If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection.
Of course... The most suspicious thing about that scenario is the idea that Trump would eat a salad.
I'd like a salad, Russian dressing, hold the lettuce, no vegetables, put it in a bucket with 12 pieces of chicken.
Now, look, people deserve to know that Congress is actually exercising serious oversight over the president and investigating his ties to Russia. And Nunes' weird behavior is undermining confidence in that investigation. He disappeared in the middle of the night, called a press conference, and basically said this.
New has come to light.
This has been a closer look.
Hey, I'm Amber Ruffin.
And I'm Jenny Hagel. Thank you so much for listening to the Late Night with Seth Meyers podcast.
But just one more thing. If you could, please subscribe and rate our podcast.
And review it.
And then call us and tell us you like us in person. Thank you so much.
Our guest, co-host Morning Joe, which airs weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on MSNBC. Please welcome back to the show our friends Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski.
How are you?
Awesome.
Very good. Very happy to have you both here.
It's great to be here.
You talk about similar stuff to what I talk about in the morning. I do it at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
67 days. Is it what you expected? Worse than what you expected? Better than what you expected?
It's far worse.
Far worse.
Yeah. It's almost at the point of no return.
Beyond comprehension?
Yes.
It's dogs and cats living together.
Yeah.
It's as bad as it gets, to quote Bill Murray. Yeah. No, I mean, it's been shocking. Like, we've known the guy for 10, 11, 12 years, and we never expected to be quite this bad.
Yeah.
So.
You mentioned you've known him for 10 years.
Yeah.
You guys had a relationship with him, a friendly relationship. He came on the show.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
You interacted with him.
Not a physical relationship.
No, that's true.
But we had a relationship.
You had a relationship. Yeah. And
friendship.
Friendship. We had a good friendship.
He recently unfollowed you both on Twitter. Was that harmful? Did that hurt you guys?
It's actually a highlight of the month.
Yeah.
When he unfollowed us.
I think it actually, in all seriousness, it shows that we got in his head.
And what was the turning point? What was the moment, because, you know, he watched your show.
Right.
That was one of the shows he consumed. It seems like that has maybe changed. What was it that you said that made him no longer want to be a Morning Joe viewer?
I got to say, one of the things that upset him the most is when we went on the air and I just said in passing, because people were saying, oh, you have Trump on for high ratings. You go, you know, at the beginning, it was sort of an interesting thing, sort of a freak show. But as time went on, people knew the act. So I said, you know, Chris Christie and Bernie Sanders actually gets higher ratings than Trump does.
Yeah.
He went crazy.
Yeah, that's... He
sent me a letter, had a spreadsheet, talked about how his ratings were higher than ours. So Mika said he needed, during the campaign, psychiatric help. He called...
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
We all need a little help. But I thought he needed a lot.
He really needed a lot of help.
A lot of help.
We attacked him. I mean, he said he could start World War... Said all of these horrible things about him during the campaign. Said he was a racist, a bigot. It all rolled right off his back. The second we said Chris Christie and Bernie Sanders outrated him, that was the end.
You actually kind of called this in that you said the issue with repealing Obamacare will be that over the course of 8 years, it is entrenched. It is a thing that exists now, and it's very hard to take something away from people.
You give that benefit, and it is tough. And the second it got passed, we both knew it was going to be hard to take it away. And it was. And it has been. That's why it's easy to talk about repealing it, but what are you going to replace it with? It's even tougher for Trump because the voters that helped him win Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, they're people that are on Obamacare. A lot of them are. So a lot easier to talk about that and brag about that and say how you're going to repeal it and replace it. A lot tougher to do it.
So one of the things he seems to have in his rhetoric now is the idea that it will destroy itself on its own and then people will be happy to replace it. It'll explode. Do you think that is his way of saying, I am going to do everything in my power to hasten the demise of Obamacare?
Well, you know, interesting today... Actually, Steve Bannon came out and said that he was going to work with a House and they were going to repeal it. And then Mitch McConnell basically said, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And Mitch, I mean, you know, it's very interesting. Meek and I both have been surprised by the people who we think in a time of crisis have actually stepped up. People who we've been really tough on in the past, Mitch McConnell, John McCain, Lindsey Graham. These are Senate Republicans that have said no. You're not going to question judicial review. You're not going to call the press enemy of the people. So there are a lot of people to be really disappointed with, but like a guy like Mitch McConnell, I never expected that we would be looking at Mitch going, okay, wait a second, he's not going to put up with Trump's BS.
I never thought I'd be saying that.
But he's not.
Do you think we'll see more people like that if his approval rating stays at the 36% it's at now? Does that give... the Republicans who maybe haven't been prone to standing up to him a little bit more courage?
Honestly, I mean, the fact that Republicans are still sucking up to him at this point is kind of pathetic. Mm-hmm. The whole thing has turned into lies and misinformation, calling the news fake news, undermining the judiciary, undermining practically every branch of government. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. There's right and there's wrong. Mm-hmm. And this guy's wrong.
And I think it helps. And I do. I mean, I really think it helps when Republicans stand up to him and say enough's enough. They put back. I remember you said something early on. You said he's president. We need to, you know, respect him and let's hope it works out well. It's the same thing I said to a lot of my family and friends when Barack Obama got elected. I said, you know, you can't cheer against the president of the United States without cheering against the country. So I hope that Donald Trump becomes the Donald Trump that, and we'll say it, that we've known privately. A guy that's a hell of a lot more gracious in private than this sort of reality TV show president that he plays on TV. Because that's the thing. You talk to Hillary Clinton, you talk to Nancy Pelosi, you talk to Chuck Schumer, you talk to the biggest... like Democrats that have known him for a long time, they will tell you off camera, he can be a charming guy, he can be an engaging guy. And instead of, like, for instance, we invite him, you know, we used to invite him to our book parties. He never talked about himself. He'd come in and go, hey, Mika Brzezinski's book, Knowing Your Value, the greatest book since the Gutenberg Bible.
It is, by the way.
And, but you know he... But, no, he didn't read it, right? I don't want to break your heart.
It's okay. It's branding.
Which makes it even kinder. But it is very interesting. We actually could tell a lot of stories about how this guy was genuinely kind, helped immigrants, actually, that Mika knew, did all of these things. But for some reason, he can't show it on TV.
It's and such a weird thing. Everybody else in show business are nice on television and then assholes behind the camera.
Right.
And he's like, I'm going to let the public
know. I'm
going
to switch it.
I'm going to switch it up.
You know, I always tell people the story that actually tells you what Trump can be behind the scenes, as long as you're not doing business deals with him or you loan him money.
Yeah.
Other than those two areas. I remember one time saying, like 5 years ago, you know, you get the nicest kids, and I judge people by their children.
Right.
Because that talks about their character.
Sure.
With nobody looking, behind closed doors, with nothing to gain by it, he goes, you know what? He said, anything that you see in my children that's good, it's because they've got a great mom. Yeah. They've got a tough mom. They've got somebody that raised them right. I owe that all to Ivana. And I sat there, I think, well, you know, what over a guy? We were telling him that story about a month ago, and he said, hey, that's a great story. I got to remember that one.
Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Joe Scarborough, Nico Buzinski, everybody. Morning, Joe. It's weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on MSNBC.
Everybody, this is Henry from Late Night. I'm here with Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough, the hosts of Morning Joe on MSNBC. Your show is 3 hours every single morning. What do you guys do during the commercial breaks? Can you go to the bathroom? Can you stretch your legs?
No, we don't go to the bathroom for 3 hours.
It's a long show.
You know, it is funny that we just sit down and do it and just charge ahead. And we wake up and as we're waking up, if we're going to have breakfast, we have breakfast right there because we don't have time to have breakfast beforehand.
Yeah.
And we just basically do it. It's really great when we're like in the middle of a fight.
Oh, God.
Because we can't really fight.
It gets it's like
for 3 hours because we're on mic. So we just sort of like, it comes out.
Sometimes we just fight on the air.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Sure.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. It does.
Last time you guys were here, as Seth was just saying, you kind of talked about, or Joey, when you were here, you talked about how Obamacare would be really hard to repeal because it'd be kind of entrenched in the American fabric. Both of you were saying Scott Walker and Jeb Bush look like contenders. This is May 2015 before Trump got into the business.
Trump.
So that prediction was wrong, even though a lot of people were thinking it. But it seems like cable news is a place where people expect a lot of predictions.
I got to say, you know, what's interesting is the second Trump went down the escalator, we were all looking at him going, what's going on here? Mika was saying the guy can win.
You knew right then.
She knew.
With all due respect, we've been right. I'm sorry. We have. And if Donald Trump had not entered the race, it would have been Jeb Bush.
Yeah, no,
so we were right. Secondly, we were right about Trump. Thirdly, we were right about Hillary Clinton's campaign being arrogant, lacking a message for 2 years.
What did you say?
And for being bullies.
Yeah, you know, I got to say this too, and I hate to admit it, but in February of 2007, she said Barack Obama was going to be the next president of the United States, and I spit my coffee out. Nobody thought that.
Yeah.
So when Mika says something, it's like, I've got to listen.
No, but
because she predicted Trump the day he came down the escalator, and you're talking about cable news. That's what people want to know.
Yeah, people want to know, and it's so hard to predict politics, and especially now. It's amazing you got these things right, because it seems like people expect you guys in cable news to make predictions all the time, and you just have to know so many of them will be wrong because there's just so... How can anyone predict?
The hardest thing is to stick by your prediction because we were mocked, ridiculed. Joe was saying 3 days before Trump won that Trump had a path to victory, and he was literally mocked off our set by members of the Morning Joe family.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to... And I mean, no problem. I mean, we're fine being disagreeing with each other, but I'm just saying it's hard to stand your ground in your own mind with your gut and your instinct when everybody thinks you're crazy. So you kind of learn to stick to it in our show.
This year was the hardest because 3 weeks beforehand, it was Mika, myself, and Mark Halperin said he could win.
Yeah.
Washington Post was writing nasty articles, calling Halperin a lapdog. They wrote a nasty article about me saying I sold my soul to Trump. I mean, and you're like, no, actually, we're just kind of saying the guy could win.
Yeah.
We're not saying he is going to win, but he could win. So Mika's right. This year, the toughest thing was sticking by the prediction.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for being here. Such a pleasure chatting with you.
It was great talking to you, too.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.